بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I want to continue with the reminder yesterday about the way of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم, the way he corrected people. I want to tell you one of my favorite stories of the seerah, which illustrates this so beautifully. Yesterday I told you the other story, today this one. It was the after Fatah Makkah. In Fatah Makkah, most of the Quraysh and the other tribes who lived in Makkah, most of them, or almost all of them, accepted Islam. They came into Islam. And, however, obviously, because Rasulullah ﷺ had been there only a few days, these were not people who had the privilege of the company and tarbiyah and sohbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or of any of his glorious companions, any of the akabirin of the sahaba. So, and obviously their knowledge of Islam also was very limited, like anybody else's. If you just come into Islam, just because you are Arab, it doesn't mean anything different from any other person of any other ethnicity or culture. If you don't know, you don't know. And Islam is not the name of a ethnicity. Islam is not the name of a family or a race. Islam is the name of a belief system. It's the name of a practice. So the best Muslim, the most knowledgeable Muslim, is the one who learns the religion and who practices it. So, and then the same thing applies to, you know, whoever it is, whether it's Arabs or anybody else. So these people had recently come into Islam, and that is when, after Fatah Makkah and things were sort of settled, a couple of weeks thereafter, Rasulullah ﷺ decided to take his army to conquer Taif. Taif was the place from which he had been brutally repulsed when he had gone there in order to give da'wah to those people. The leaders of Taif had treated him very dishonorably and very brutally and very shamefully. And Rasulullah ﷺ, and obviously Taif was the two main strongholds in the Hijaz. One was Makkah, the other one was Taif. And since Makkah had been conquered, Rasulullah ﷺ decided that this was a good time also to ensure that the other problem in the Hijaz was settled, and that was Taif. And so, by the hukum of Allah, Rasulullah ﷺ decided to march on Taif. The difference between earlier battles or earlier, not campaigns really, because the Arabs at that time were not campaigning. Campaigns started much, much later in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and then later on when Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was the commander-in-chief, and then they continued. These were really battles. The difference between the earlier ones and this one was that this was the first time that the Muslim army was fully equipped. There were 10,000 of them, and they were fully equipped. They had all the weaponry they needed, which was very unlike and unusual for them, very unlike their usual situation. And so they were very happy, they were very pleased, and they were very confident. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what happened in the whole battle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat in Surah At-Tawbah, which are salutary, which are for the purpose of us to understand the importance of tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. We won't go into all that here. Here my focus is one small but very significant incident. And that is that this army was marching, and the army was comprised now of a large number of people who were recent converts to Islam, among whom were also a lot of the young men of Quraysh. I don't say nobility and so on, because the Arabs didn't have a system of nobility and royalty. But these were wealthy young men from Quraysh. They stopped at their first camp. And I remember this is an army on the march. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the commander-in-chief, and the army has camped for the first night. Now, in this camp, at that time, it was time for Salah, and Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu was the muazzin. So, Sayyidina Bilal called the Adhan. Now, as he was calling the Adhan, there were these young men from Quraysh, who were watching him. And there was a group of them who were making racist and disparaging and insulting remarks about Sayyidina Bilal. Now, obviously, I will not repeat what they were saying. But suffice to say that they made these insulting remarks. Now, obviously, they were not alone. They had many witnesses to what was happening. And somebody went and reported this to Rasulullah. And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. This is what happened. This is how these people were disparaging and insulting Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu when he was making adhan." So Rasulullah summoned them. And so people went and they rounded up these youngsters and they brought them to Rasulullah. So now imagine, put yourself in the position of these people. This matter has now become serious. They were joking, and obviously their jokes were racist, their jokes were disparaging, they were very insulting. There's nothing funny about these jokes, but for them they were funny, so they were having a good laugh. And suddenly now it became serious. And remember, a matter like this, where your behavior can be interpreted to mean that it is treasonous, that you were disparaging or you were trying to insult one of the commanders of the army. And Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu had a very high status with Rasulullah. He was one of his closest companions. This could become, quite literally, it could become a matter where you could lose your life. You could be sentenced to be executed for rebelliousness, for treason. So suddenly, what may have seemed to them to be a joke turned into a matter of life and death. So they came before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah said, "Who was your leader? Who was making the most of these remarks?" And a man called Abu Mahdura was identified. Well, I mean, you know, somebody had to identify him. They knew who he was. He knew who he was. He couldn't hide it. So Rasulullah said to him, "Come close to me." Now imagine, put yourself in Abu Mahdura's place. Here is this guy who is been identified as the leader of all this, this evil revelry. And so the most natural thought that might have gone through his mind was that these are the last few moments of my life and I'm going to be killed as an example for everybody else. And given any other, I mean, I read military histories, especially medieval military histories and ancient military histories, as a matter of interest. And I can tell you that I can probably guarantee you, I can probably tell you with complete certainty that had the commander-in-chief of that army been Julius Caesar or Subodai, who was the general of Genghis Khan, or if it was almost any, I mean, even including many Muslim Muslim rulers and commanders and generals, Nadir Shah, for example, or any of them, I can say with complete certainty that there is no doubt in my mind that the commander would have ordered that man to be beheaded in public right there to serve as a example for anyone who wanted to make fun of one of the generals of the army. But what does Rasulullah ﷺ do? When the man came and sat close to him, Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, "Do you want to learn how to call the adhan? Do you want me to teach you how to call the adhan?" Remember now, he is correcting this man for having abused or made fun or mocked Sayyidina Bilal radhiyallahu anhu. But Rasulullah ﷺ does not even refer to the incident. He does not say, "Why did you do that? It was not a nice thing to do. You should be more responsible. You look like a good guy." You know, even I'm saying even in a nice way, right? He didn't mention anything about the incident. He asked him a question which I'm sure must have floored the man completely. This would probably be the most unexpected question that the man could have expected. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I'm saying this, it comes out funny. I mean, it was the most unexpected thing in the world. I mean, no way in the world that anyone could be expected to imagine that they would be asked a question like this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, "Would you like me to teach you how to call the adhan?" Now imagine, if you are in Abu Mahadura's place, you are going to say yes to whatever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to ask you, right? So anyway, so Abu Mahadura said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, please teach me." And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then called the adhan. And he said to Abu Mahadura, "Repeat after me." And he called the adhan, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, hiya salah, hiya al-fala, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah." This is not the adhan, the full adhan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Now Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah reports that he said ashhadu la ilaha illallah ashhadu anna twice, and then he said ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah twice, and then he repeated that. So ashhadu la ilaha illallah and ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah were said actually four times. And then he said hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah, hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. And then he said Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. And Abu Mahdura, radiallahu anhu, he repeated this whole adhan after Rasulullah. Now, this is not the punchline of the story. The punchline of the story is, after the adhan finished, Abu Mahdura, radiallahu anhu, he says to Rasulullah, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, Bilal bin Rabah, radiallahu anhu, is your muazzin in Medina. Make me your muazzin in Makkah." Who's saying this? The leader of the men who were mocking Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu for calling the adhan. Right? Who were making racist remarks against him, who were mocking him. What does he say? He said, "Make me the muazzin in Makkah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "You are the muazzin in Makkah." The historians say that Abu Mahdura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a long life, and he lived to be almost 100 years old. And they said that every salah in the haram, he would come, he would make tawaf, he would pray two rakat of salah, and then he would call the adhan. And he did that his whole life, his entire life. My brothers and sisters, this is the beauty of correcting correctly. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.